Welcome to the Do Good to Lead Well podcast. If you're passionate about mastering self-leadership, then you're in the right place. I have always been curious about and fascinated by the pursuit of leadership excellence. This is why I pursued my PhD in psychology with a specialization in business, and I've continued to dedicate my career to understanding the science and practice of positive leadership. My name is Craig Dowden. I'm a best-selling author, award-winning keynote speaker, executive coach, and member of the Forbes Coaches Council. Each week, I'll bring you world-class content on the science and practice of positive leadership. Through my conversations with best-selling authors, TED speakers, and top CEOs, you'll be able to leverage their insights and experience so you can maximize your potential and be the leader the world needs you to be. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Do Good to Lead Well podcast series. I'm your host, Craig Dowden, and each week I interview top CEOs, best-selling authors, and TED speakers. And the last Thursday of every month, I record a solo episode where I share my observations from the best conversations I've been a part of or interesting topics that have come across my desk. And I'm excited to share this episode, this monthly solo episode with you today. And before I begin, want to express once again my sincerest gratitude because of your ongoing support, feedback, social shares, recommendations. The Do Good to Lead Well podcast is now rated in the top 0.5% of podcasts globally. So thank you very, very much. This could never happen without you. And the topic I wanted to speak about in this month's solo episode is an important one, and particularly given the state of the world, seeing the conversations that we're having or not having, there's a lot of people on edge, emotions are running high. And so I wanted to focus my conversation today on how we can most effectively engage in mastering our emotions. Emotions are an ongoing and an essential part of our everyday lives, personally and professionally. And where I want to start is contextualizing emotions, because fundamentally, our emotions are data points. They're essentially invaluable internal sources of information, which give us a sense of how we are doing in any given moment. So when we say something feels right, or we're experiencing a positive emotion, well, that suggests to us that there's a sense of convergence or alignment. Now, negative emotions, on the other hand, essentially are our early warning signal. What they do is they're telling us something's not quite right. Something is out of alignment. Negative emotions are asking us to pay attention to some aspect of our lives and letting us know something needs to be addressed. So while that request can start out lower in intensity, if we avoid it, which many of us can do, well, that can get bigger and bigger and bigger and now lead to more challenging situations. Now, an important point before I share a strategy that we can use, a very powerful strategy we can use in terms of mastering our emotions, I want to highlight that both kinds of emotions are valuable. We often have this tremendous bias towards positive emotions, yet positive and negative emotions are vitally important. They're a part of a meaningful life. You can't go through life all happy all the time. And there's a growing movement around the negative implications of toxic positivity. And so we want to really recognize that all of the emotions that we experience are important to us. They represent a healthy human experience. And another important point around our emotions is that we have the right to feel whatever we're feeling. Executive coaching clients of mine will ask in a particular situation when they're sharing some challenge that they're going through, they'll say, well, Craig, should I feel this way? And even though I will tell my clients at the very beginning, I don't give advice. That's not my role as a coach. I'm a strategic thought partner. I ask questions. We consider alternatives. In this situation, I will always say, yes, you have the right to feel whatever you're feeling in that moment. Now, what that means is that we have the ultimate responsibility to figure out, so what is it that we're feeling and why are we feeling that way? And how do we want to respond? It doesn't mean now we can react and respond however we want. We have the ultimate obligation to figure it out. And what I like to say is we want to be much more like a detective, like a Sherlock Holmes, in terms of analyzing the evidence. So our emotions are pieces of evidence, and our ultimate job is to put the pieces together so we can solve the emotional case. Now, one of the challenges with emotions is, as I mentioned at the beginning, they can run high. We can get, as Daniel Goleman, one of the top experts in emotional intelligence, has labeled it, we can get emotionally hijacked. And now it can be really challenging for us to navigate those situations effectively. And so now what I want to do, given how important navigating and mastering our emotions is for us to be effective in our personal and professional lives, I want to talk about a really powerful strategy, just that may seem very simple, and it is, yet the results are profound. There's a lot of evidence supporting this. And what I want to talk about in this episode is the process of affective labeling. So what that means is essentially we are labeling our emotions. So as an example, rather than saying, I feel great, which is pretty generic, we can now say, I feel optimistic or energized or excited. The same applies for positive and negative emotions. I want to share this point and share this strategy through talking about one of my favorite studies of all time. And it was conducted at UCLA. And what I love about this, it's for any of you who have a phobia of spiders, you may go, I'm really glad I didn't participate in this study. But essentially what they did was they recruited a group of almost 100 volunteers who had an extreme phobia of spiders. And what was really interesting about this study is that every single participant was expected to interact with a large tarantula. So that's not... If you've got an extreme spider phobia, you're probably not raising your hand and super excited about interacting with a spider. Yet in this case, all of the volunteers were asked and told this was going to happen. Now, as part of the initial phase of the experiment, they were divided into different groups. Although every individual ultimately would interact with the spider, each of the four groups received different instructions. And this is where it gets really cool. So the first group was asked to label their emotional reactions to the experience as precisely as they possibly could. So the more words, the better. So as an example, they might say something like, I'm anxious and frightened by the ugly, terrifying spider. The point being is that they really wanted to get as granular as they could about their emotions, get specific, like get beyond the macro. Now, the second group was instructed to use less threatening and even minimizing language to describe their emotional state. So something like, you know what? That spider can't hurt me. It's not poisonous. I'm much bigger. The spider is more afraid of me than I am of it. Now, you can probably guess with someone with an extreme phobia of spiders, interesting strategy, yet we'll see what the results are. The third group was asked to share information unrelated to their experience. So basically a distraction technique. So trying to get them to think about, well, what am I going to have for dinner tonight? Anything to avoid thinking about the upcoming interaction. And then the fourth group was the control condition. And they just were instructed not to say anything at all. They were only going to interact with the spider and that's it. Now, what's fascinating about this is that a week later, the study participants were brought back to interact with the same spider in an outdoor setting. So the research team, not surprisingly, was keenly interested to see how the different participants responded to this repeat visit. And it's amazing to see how the results turned out. So the group where the participants labeled their emotions, specifically labeled their emotions, performed significantly better than the other three groups in a couple of really meaningful ways. So first and foremost, the participants in the labeling group were in much closer proximity to the spider than their counterparts, which suggests what they were able to do was really manage their phobia, their strong emotional reaction. What's also interesting is they showed less hesitation and more curiosity. And what's also fascinating, I think this is really neat. So behaviorally, they were closer to the spider. What's also cool about this is that they manifested significantly lower physiological responses to the encounter. So their stress response went down. Their palms were less sweaty than the other participants. What's also fascinating, one of the lead scientists said, and I'll quote, "It's surprising that this minimal intervention action had a significant effect over exposure alone." So really interesting in this. Now, what was really intriguing is that by giving a more detailed voice to their experience, this assisted them in having a lower stress response. So now what's really interesting is that the researchers were learning this process of labeling is very powerful. Now, the research also uncovered that the type and number of words the participants used had a significant effect on their outcomes. So as another example, people who used a larger number of negative words perform better in terms of their willingness to get closer to the spider and experienced less intense physiological response. So using even more words was much better. And describing their experiences and feelings more accurately enabled them to cope with the experience far better. What's fascinating about these results is that they run counter to our perceptions around how they should or how we should deal with emotions, especially negative emotions. And the authors talked about a separate series of studies that they published where they asked people, hey, what would be better or worse for you? Just looking at a disturbing image or looking at that image and then choosing a negative emotional word to describe it? In almost every case, people think, you know what? It's going to be far worse if not only we look at it, we focus on the negativity by choosing a negative word. This is totally wrong. It's much better for us to give voice to those emotions. Now, since this is about do good to lead well, I want to talk about how these results apply to leadership, apply to our personal lives. So first and foremost, the more precise we are in acknowledging and labeling our emotions, the more effective we will be in processing them. And so, as we saw in the research study, participants who used more specific words to describe their anxiety reduced their subsequent stress response to a situation. Now, another important benefit of this and labeling our emotions is that it better equips us to face our situation in a more constructive and productive way. So remember, if we're providing a really precise label to our emotions, what that's doing is giving us an action plan. And so now we understand how we wish to move forward. So I'll give an example, right? Let's step back from the research. Let's step back even from work and think about, okay, a common situation where, and I hinted this at the beginning, where you look at it and say, I feel awful. We're attempting to label our emotional experience, yet we're saying, I feel awful. And if we drill down a little more, how are we feeling awful? Is it emotional feeling awful? Is it physically feeling awful? Maybe I didn't sleep long enough last night. Maybe I had a really heavy meal, lots of deep fry. Maybe I had a few too many carbonated drinks or what have you. What was going on? Had too much dessert. That's why I'm feeling awful. So that label of awful really doesn't cut it, doesn't give us insight. Now, let's counterbalance that with I feel lonely. Now, what's interesting is it gives us a much clearer path forward. So if I'm feeling lonely, what can I do? I can ask a friend, a colleague at work to go for a coffee, a virtual coffee, or go meet at the local coffee shop. I can connect with a friend through Facebook. I can make a random call to my partner or one of my kids, or maybe I call one of my parents. All that to say, the more precise we are in labeling our emotions, not only does it enable us to process them more effectively, it also better equips us to figure out what do we need to do to get more in alignment. And I think that's incredibly valuable. And one final point that I think is interesting as well about the research, and I'd love to circle back here, is that recall that for the participants that more specifically labeled their emotions, they engaged in more approach behaviors with the spider. Remember that, right? When they came back in, they got closer. The distance that they had between themselves and the spider was much shorter. And so when you think about that, even in terms of our problems, so let's even step back and say a spider represents a problem or an area of challenge for us. When we're more specific in labeling our emotions, maybe we don't want to do our taxes or go to the dentist or have a difficult conversation with someone. Well, now if we're staying, avoiding it, or we want to label it at a really, I hate that. Well, now we're not really putting ourselves in a position to process it. The more we can sit with that emotion, particularly the negative emotion, and label it as effectively as we can, use as many words as possible. Now what that does is put us in the best possible position to take action on things that are most important to us in a constructive way. We can use our early detection system, if you will, to now be able to assist us in the way in which it's designed. So when it comes to mastering our emotions, we want to be highly aware of the labels and take the time to challenge ourselves to be more like emotional detectives and dig into the evidence that's there that's being communicated through our emotions so we can move forward effectively. Thank you so much for being a part of this episode today. Can't wait for you to continue your journey in the Do Good to Lead Well universe. As always, please pass along your recommendations for guests, your feedback on episodes. Please keep sharing this with friends, family, colleagues. Grateful for your support. Until next time, bye for now. Thank you so much for joining me here today on Do Good to Lead Well. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please subscribe and leave a review. If you'd like to continue the conversation, you can follow me on Twitter at Craig Dowden or reach out via LinkedIn or email info@craigdowden.com. I look forward to meeting you here next week for another transformational episode.